Hey friends, thanks so much for tuning into the Inner Revolution podcast. Are you ready to be changed? Well, let's go.
We're starting late today, but we are not anxious, amen? We're going to talk about anxiety today. It's a very stressful subject. All right, we're just going to start. All right. Precious Father, thank you for these moments in your word, and just encourage us today with your thoughts in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've been thinking about this thought about patience, and something we none of us have the gift of. Have you realized that yet? I recognize that every time I drive my car. I feel like I do a lot of repenting in my car. I don't know if that's a good thing to confess, actually, but anyway, I do not have road rage, usually, no. Anyway, James chapter 1, I want to talk a little bit about patience having its perfect work, because really it's a mystery of God, isn't it? And just thinking about anxiety, it's something I've been studying a lot about recently, and how life can have a perceived threat, and there can be an actual threat. And I want to kind of unpack those thoughts today, and how God can give you patience, not your patience, not a manufactured tolerance, but really his patience, as in he is walking with you, hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder, and if we're really clear, he's carrying us through. He's not going to drop us off in the middle and say, have a nice life, or taunt you and bait you into a place and say, now figure it out on your own. No, he's going to patiently walk with you, minister to you, love you, encourage you, and myself is included in that you. So in James chapter 1, let's look at these verses. Isn't that good? That's a good starting point, isn't it? Because life is a process in this sense where we're learning Christ. We're enjoying Christ. Often we think of the call of God as an event. It's not. It's enjoying him, expressing him, learning him. And if something gets done, praise the Lord, because the results are the Lord's. If you look through the book of Acts, it's really amazing. Because the book of Acts is all about that, isn't it? It's all about him giving the increase. I think we lose or we get stressed out or anxious when we think we have to produce the action. But what a beautiful paradigm shift when we know that we are getting to know him. That is the will of God, right? And the call of God is the expression of that relationship. It kind of changes. It changes the way we think about things, because not all action is progress. So if we focus on the action only, we could be really, really driven, right? And that's not God's plan. God's plan is that we're led. And I think this is how we understand and understand that patience is really God's ministry of timing. Have you ever noticed that? Your timing and our... And God's timing are a little different. How many have recognized that a little bit? Right? We sing those songs, like I love that song by Seven. We have an on-time God. Is he on time? Not really on my timetable, but absolutely on his timetable, right? And it's kind of a half of a joke a little bit that that he doesn't dwell in time. So that's even better, right? Hey, Mika, great to see you. Love you guys. Love these guys. Amazing. Okay. All right, James chapter 1. So, verse 2, now count it all joy. That's what an interesting starting point when, not if, but when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So, why do we need that? Well, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature and complete, lacking nothing. That's interesting, isn't it? Why is that important? It's because patience completes or matures us so that we lack nothing. Now, I want to slow this down because it's so valuable, because we have an idea of what we need, and God says, you need patience. And we say, no, we need answers, right? God says, you need patience. And we say, no, we need things to hurry up and get done, right? You ever pray to get through something, and God says, I think we're going to take a slow walk on this one. It's like, Lord, we want this to end. We want this to be done. And God's like, I'm going to be close to you. I'm going to minister something to you. I'm going to bring you deeper, not just bring you through. I'm going to bring you deeper so that you're different on the other end of this. Let's let patience have its perfect work. I don't know. Those words have been very powerful in my life in these last few weeks. And let me show you an interesting verse as we unpack this. Let's look at Luke 21 together. None of us have the patience. So just to kind of release you from any stress, right, or pressure. Like we all have tolerance, right? We can tolerate things in our flesh, right? Maybe some greater than others. But God doesn't tolerate us. He forbears us, which means love is the motivator and the proximity, or the it constrains us. Love is there. God's like, I don't tolerate you, right? He's not up there saying, you do one more thing, I'm going to send lightning bolts on you. No, his love endures forever. That's patience, isn't it? That's amazing. Like, we're counting our sins and God is saying, no, there is no ledger. Psalm 103, 10 through 12, I've removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. That is patience. God does not deal with us in our sin. Praise the Lord. If God was to count iniquities, none of us would stand. That is patience. Why God is not giving us what we deserve, but giving us what we need. That is an act of patience having its perfect work. God is adding something to our life that we cannot produce, we cannot manufacture, and something we do not have. So at the end of our life, I mean, and look at John, 95 years old, asking to know God. What was going on? Patience was being added to his life. See, we think of patience as restraint. I need more patience. Patience is much more than that. It's walking in sync with God. That's patience. It's walking in sync with God. It is walking agreed with the Spirit, right? Timing is one thing. Sure, we want things done yesterday. Ever met an impatient person, anybody? Right? Just look in the mirror, right? I've realized how impatient I am, right? That's very edifying, isn't it? Like, God, I need you, right? How about in relationships? You ever notice that? Right? Wow. John and his dear wife here. Great to meet you. These guys just got married, right? Isn't that awesome? It's awesome. We giving you a hand on that one. Sorry to embarrass you. but in relationships, right? In relationships, we learn patience, that our spouse is different, right? 26 years, my wife and I have been married 26 years. I've realized that she's very different, and I love that, right? Patience, right? There's acceptance, there's an acknowledgement, and then there's a walking together in sync. Look at this in Luke. I'm in John, but let's look at Luke. Jesus says this to his disciples in persecution. Luke 21. God is faithful. That is the mantra of patience. I am faithful. Chill out. Relax. I am faithful. I was talking with somebody the other day, and they didn't even realize what they were saying, but the Spirit was speaking right through them. And don't you love that? You have a conversation with somebody, and you could be speaking an answer to their prayer, and it's like this person just said this, why wouldn't God answer prayer? Like they just said that simple statement. And it dispelled the doubt and fear, right, that we can be gripped in sometimes. By the way, anxiety is an interesting thing. Anxiety is what grips the mind. One writer says that anxiety is like a free falling. You ever free fall before? You cannot grab a hold of anything. You're just kind of, you're in motion without stability. Anxiety is a real thing that God says perfect love casts out anxiety and fear. Don't let anxiety have its perfect work. Otherwise, you're going to be neurotic. But have patience have its perfect work so that, yes, we want the results to be what they are, but when we're patient, when God adds his patient, we're more journey-minded, not results-minded. All right? Big difference, right? We're thinking, got to have that done. God is saying, I want to conform you to my image as that gets done. And it may not get done the way you want it. I want it done for my glory, which could be very different than what your plans are, right? I don't know about you. I don't like when plans go sideways. Anybody like surprises? I don't like those, really. I like my neat little boxes, right? God does not operate that way always. So isn't that good? We're walking in sync with God. God is more journey-minded. What's happening in the moment? What's happening today? What's ruling my spirit today? How am I connecting with him today, right? This is when patience has its perfect work. Why? Because we're getting to know him. And that is not always comfortable, right? Faith is not born on a sunny day. When you read Psalm 23, David was not sipping iced tea on the Judean hills. He had somebody after him. His son was conspiring against him. He's losing his kingdom. And Saul, I believe, was also after him. So Psalm 23 was not sipping iced tea on the porch, right? He was under great duress, but the external pressure was not touching him internally. Why? Because he was being preserved in patience, right? Luke 21:19. Look at this verse. This is a verse we know, but very edifying. It says, by your patience possess your soul. So look at the front end of this. He's saying, 13, but it will turn out for you on occasion for testimony. That means everything in your life will turn out for God's testimony. There'll be a testimony in what your life is presently in. That's the objective and purpose. Therefore, settle it in your heart not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist you. You will be betrayed even by parents. Okay, think about this list. This is pretty radical. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends. And they'll put some of you to death. That's edifying, isn't it? It's your closest people you got to watch sometimes, you know? Right? What's that saying? We keep our friends close and our enemies closer. There is something to that, right? And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Boy, just look at the pride month we're in. Isn't that a debacle? Demons, demons, demons. That's what I mean. It's like, wow, I can't believe the tolerance of demons, right? But you know what? Evil is patient, which means the devil has a calculated plan. But think about the patience of God. It possesses our soul. And he goes on to say this, but not a hair of your head shall be lost, right? That's good. By your patience, possess your soul. It means that God is saying, I am with you. You're not going to feel the heat when it comes. I am for you. Possess, like have this be the captivating thought in your mind and not what's coming against you. You know, I was thinking about I want to read a couple points here. One of the things at McDonald's, right, supersize it. Anybody like the supersizing, those that you have that eat at McDonald's? That food's addicting, isn't it? I remember one this is many years ago. I can't do that now because I'm not 20-something. But I used to love Quarter Pounders. I think those are addicting. I think they are. There's something in them. This is not a not one of these confession meetings. How many Quarter Pounders did you eat today, this week? So anxiety comes in our life when self is supersized, right? Anxiety, right? That insecurity comes into our life when self is supersized, right? You know, life is a certain portion, but we want more. We don't want just more. We want a lot more, right? We go from that little bit of fries to the massive amount of fries, right? And McDonald's fries, there's something about them. You have so much salt that they're delicious, absolutely. Pastor Steve, I heard that. Let's all buy some fries here. When self is supersized, when we become too big, then there's a lot of reasons for anxiety. One writer says, when you set your hope in the right place, you will be the right size. Isn't that good? Think about that. What you set your hope on, setting your hope in the right place, you will be the right size. So when there's impatience, and let's turn to Psalm 130, when there is an aggravation, when there's fear, the emotion of self-consciousness. You ever notice fear is like, you ever find, the devil likes to subtract God from our situation, like the God factor. And there's a lot to fear when God is not in the equation. But then perfect love casts out fear, or great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. But Isaiah says this in 26:3, it says, I will give you perfect peace as your mind is set on me, right? Perfect peace, right? Because our mind is set on the Lord, right? We make God big, we supersize God, and we are the right size, right? You ever get offended? Maybe somebody says something to you and offends you. It means that we're too big. Offense, by the way, is a choice. Being offended is a choice because we're too big. God says, be small, let me be big, right? And patience possesses our soul. This is an interesting thing about wisdom. Wisdom is a godly restraint. Let's say you have the power, authority, and right, that's a big word today, my rights, right, to react, retaliate, and even destroy somebody, right? But wisdom says, what would love do? What is the ministry of Christ here? What is the action of patience here? It really changes the purpose from me to God, right? All right. I'm saying a lot of different things here, but I hope they're making sense. Look at Psalm 130. This is good. Anxiety. It's in the air, isn't it? It's in the air. I sense that. Like when the patience of God possesses your soul, it's not going to matter that parents, that all that list we just read, it doesn't matter what happens. It matters how we are responding to God in it. See, some people say, oh, you gotta respond to that person in the Spirit of Christ. You gotta respond to that situation with wisdom. I would go a step further. How are we responding to God first? We respond to God, and then we're able to respond to people in patience, in long suffering, in these things that God gives, right? Otherwise, we're just negatively acting out. Otherwise, we're just retaliating. Otherwise, we're just nervous. And really, the devil is stealing your time and your energy. And it's like being in a rocking chair, moving really fast and not going anywhere. Any rocking chair people here today? I like rocking chairs, right? Or one writer says it's like moving chairs on the Titanic, right? Looks really great, but you're sinking, right? All right, Psalm 130. This is so good. I love, if you want to read Psalm 130 and 131, these are great chapters that help us letting patience have its perfect work. Because perceived threat and actual threat, that's a good question. Is this perceived a threat or is it an actual threat? Obviously, if someone's chasing you with a weapon, that's an actual threat, right? Obviously. But perceived threat could be very different. It could be something that we've created in our own mind, or we're fearing something that never happened, never will happen, right? Or it could be something that it could be an imagination, and I think our world is filled with it. It's an imagination that's false. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if it doesn't happen? Think of all the time spent wondering and worrying, right? And I'm talking to myself here, we've all experienced that, right? And God is saying, how about talking to me, who's everywhere present, all-powerful, and is always acting? Like, isn't it amazing how we can talk to God and our anxieties lessen, if not be removed, right? So anxiety happens when we try to control the uncontrollable. It's like being in an airplane. I've experienced this many times. Maybe you have too. You ever worry about being in an airplane, hit some turbulence, and all of a sudden you're like wondering about the pilot, wondering if the mechanic on the airplane really riveted all those rivets tight. You know, how many airplane videos have we seen that crash because some one rivet is not right or something, right? I don't know. I like watching those for some odd reason. I'm always fascinated by airplanes, but then there's a whole other thing to rest and say, Lord, you're in control. I am not in control. That's a really beautiful thing. That's patience saying, Lord, I'm in sync with you. I am walking with you, agreed. I am in the moment knowing that you are faithful, that you are in control, and that you have your best in mind for me. That's a good thing to say. Lord, you have your best in mind for me. Isn't that good? It's a great thing to say. Rather than being obsessive compulsive or trying to possess somebody, trying to control somebody, that's a great way to make a miserable situation, actually. All right, let's look at Psalm 131. We were talking just about the noise in our soul that can happen, that static. You know, just you ever, it's really not the case today, but as you change the radio station and it tunes in and tunes out, you have that interference, right? Anxiety can be that interference. It can really cloud our thinking. It can really cloud our view. It can really be a prevailing voice that says, what if God doesn't? Or is God really faithful? Or that doubt, that can be that prevailing voice. And God says, let me quiet that voice. You know, I was reading about how noise comes from pride in my life. That noise comes from pride. That somehow I've supersized myself above God, or somehow I know better than God, or somehow my plan is better than God's. That's that's all self-will and pride. And God is saying that is the root of your noisiness, right? Your noisiness, right? Anybody here sleep with white noise? Anybody? It's good, isn't it? It's wonderful. I have a joke here, but I'm going to pause that. It's better than the snoring, right? Drowns out the snoring. That white noise kind of equalizes the sound, doesn't it? I mean, it's wonderful. I like it too. I remember when my son was really young and he would cry. It's a strong cry. And you ever tell a kid to stop crying? He just cries harder, right? It's like, stop that. The only thing we could do was we'd use that shush. Like in his ear really loud. It was like, that was the only way to get Carson not to cry, like shh, like that. And another thing, we kind of laugh about this now, but it wasn't really funny, but I enjoyed it. He didn't really enjoy it, but when he was a little kid and he would be crying out loud and he'd open his mouth real wide and we'd go la, 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 like this. So when he'd cry, he'd make that sound. I don't know if that was a good thing as a parent, but I was desperate, and he survived. He's pretty normal, I think. Anyway, that equalizing, right, really, it calms our spirit down. And God is like saying, let my patience do its perfect work. I am going to fulfill my will, my way, my timing, and by my purposes. And you know, this really helps us enjoy the process, enjoy the surprises, enjoy the curveballs, enjoy the things that are going on. So Psalm 131, Lord, my heart is not haughty, my eyes are not lofty, neither do I concern myself with great matters. That's a great statement. Nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. That's good, isn't it? That's a great illustration. It's like God will meet the deepest desire and need of the heart, and we can rest. Even though it doesn't matter what externally is going on, we read in Psalm 130, the Where is God chapter. And verse 6 of Psalm 130, my soul waits for the Lord more than those that wait for the morning. Yes, more than they that watch for the morning. Kind of an interesting statement. Like maybe we say, Lord, I don't wait for you like that. Lord, I am waiting on things. I'm waiting on answers. I'm waiting on people. I'm waiting on things to work out in a profitable way. And God's like, how about wait on me like the morning? We know every day it's a miracle, just the way God paints the sky and the sunrise and sunset. It's a miracle, isn't it? We have such an artistry. I was talking to an evolutionist recently, an atheist evolutionist. Those are fun people, aren't they? It's like, isn't it amazing the designer paints this for us? And everything points to a designer. And I was so excited about that, and it was like radio silence. There were like no response. So I said, I feel bad for you. You have no one to thank in your life, you know, for all the beautiful things that you have all around you. It's amazing. So just to kind of close today, setting our hope in the right place, we will be the right size. So maybe you're in front of a mountain today. Who are you? Who are you, O great mountain? Zechariah 4:6. Doesn't even answer the question. He just starts shouting grace, grace to it. Isn't that great? We look for answers, definition. We analyze things so we can process it. We want things to be our way so that we can relax. And God is saying, relax even in the mess. We know the Philippians 4, 5 through 9. This is an interesting verse here. We know it, but there's something here I saw that helped me recently. Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing. We know that, right? Lord's like, chill out, right? But he prefaces it by this statement, 4, 5. It says this, let your gentleness be known to all men. And then just this simple statement, the Lord is near. See that? The Lord is near. The Lord is near. The Lord is aware. The Lord is seeing it. The Lord is hearing it. The Lord is touched by your infirmities, right? The Lord is near. And that's why we don't have to be anxious. Why? Because we're not alone. That's what the devil says. You're alone. It's going to work. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad, right? And God is saying, what are you talking about? I am right here. I am right here in the midst of it all. And I just was encouraged by that today, that patience having its perfect work. Why? Because God is near. He's as close as the mention of his name in Hebrews 4:16. We can come boldly to him at any point. And we don't have to be married to the results. We can enjoy him along the way. And then we possess our soul. And we were saying today with our staff, you ever want to quit? Anybody? Don't raise your hands. Wow, a lot of hands up there now. You know, we were saying today that when you want to quit, it usually means you're closest to the breakthrough. When you want to quit, it usually means you're ready to cross a finish line, not the finish line. So we were saying how valuable it is to recognize whenever I have that thought, it means something good is about ready to be released. Amen? So in our patience, God's patience, not in our tolerance, God has something amazing to impart to us. Amen. And he is faithful. How many believe that today? I don't know. I feel like I'm speaking to something today. I love that. Anxiousness does not have to be, we don't have to be a hostage. Amen. Fear. False evidences are appearing real. The acronym FEAR. False evidences appearing real. No. God is real, right? Right? God is the real reality, like we've been hearing so beautifully in these messages. And our trust is in him. And we can be like that little kid, content after a meal, right? Sitting there smiling, right? Before he was a raging lunatic, right? Sorry, I love kids. And then calm, we're calm. Amen. Father, bless these thoughts in Jesus' name. Amen. We can talk about this.
Thanks, friends, for joining us for another episode of the Inner Revolution podcast. Please find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, and subscribe so that you don't miss an episode.